The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Well, Josh Allen, Gardner Minshew, Jamal Williams, Hunter Henry, maybe a Jets wide receiver. Maybe these guys can win you a week. Maybe they can win you multiple weeks. Dare I say, Dave and Jamie, the waiver wire looks kind of loaded this week. Am I wrong?
Compared to the past couple weeks, I would say absolutely. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, it really hasn't been great on the waiver wire. And this week, I think we got some good. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Last week, we were telling you to pick up Hunter Henry, and you didn't. Not enough. He's only 64% owned. He's one of a few players that have just great upcoming matchups. Four of his next five opponents are ranked 22nd or worst against tight ends. Josh Allen has four matchups against the bottom 10 defenses against quarterbacks in his next five games. And the one that isn't is Philadelphia, and they're not that good against quarterbacks. Frank Gore also has great matchups. Hey, the Bills have great matchups coming up. Jamal Williams, he actually might have a tough matchup this week. Oakland, they're eighth in fantasy points allowed to running backs, but then Kansas City and the Chargers, those look good. So we got some guys to pick up. How you guys doing? Are you angry about the officiating last night?
Yes.
No.
Angry to a degree, I guess I should say. Like, it's getting to be really annoying, like, how much officials are taking over the game. And it's not just the Monday night game. How about in the Cowboys-Jets game? They're coming down the stretch. It's late in the fourth quarter, and there's a penalty on five straight plays.
Really?
It kind of drove me crazy. There's just too much yellow on the field right now.
I guess you could go on a scale of one to Booger McFarland in terms of how mad you are about the penalties. Woo, guy was melted down last night.
Yeah, do not make Booger mad.
No, apparently not. We'll talk about that game. How much fab are we spending on, who are the guys that we're spending big fab on? I guess Hunter Henry would probably be number one. So let's say you have, I like to do it with a starting budget percentage. I know some people like the remaining budget percentage.
How do I know how much everybody has left?
Exactly.
In their budget?
It's very difficult. So how much should we spend on Hunter Henry, say?
At least 20%. At the very minimum, 20%.
That's the number I had in my head too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Who else commands big fab? Jamal Williams. How much would you spend on him? He's about 30% owned.
No one else is more than worth. No one else is worth more than 15%.
But I'll tell you, if you're desperate for running back help, here's somebody that you can potentially start right away. So I think he's close to 20%. If you really need that help at running back, make it over 15% on Jamal Williams.
I am Booger McFarland mad at Aaron Jones. I just want to throw that out there. Like, he did 100% cost me. I lost two matchups to Will Brinson. I could stand losing two matchups, but not to Will. That's the last guy that I wanted to lose two matchups to. And if Aaron Jones just caught that touchdown, been 1-1, but you know, I'm very mad. What about Josh Allen, knowing that four of his next five matchups are very good, and then I think maybe five because he's got Philadelphia in there, but the Dolphins twice in the next 5 weeks. I'm trying to get the matchups. I'm sorry, all of them.
Here, I have it for you. It's he has
Dolphins.
Well, he's got Miami this week.
He gets Miami, Philadelphia, Washington, Cleveland, Miami again.
Yeah, so those look pretty good. I don't know about Cleveland. They'll be healthier at that point. But yeah, I mean, what do you think? Like, how much would you spend on Josh Allen? Let's say you own Jared Goff. You just, you know, you're struggling at quarterback. Is Allen worth
10%?
10%? Okay.
I can't spend as much on him as I would spend on Cam. But he would be right behind Cam. So if I'm spending 10% of my budget on Cam, and I don't even know if I would even commit to that high on Newton, since we just don't know exactly how good it'll be when he comes back. Allen would be a step behind him.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'd say like 7 or 8% on Josh Allen.
I'd much rather have Josh Allen than Cam, so I'd spend more on him.
It depends on what your situation is, I think. I think if you need a quarterback this week.
The guy that's guaranteed to start.
Right, well, sure. If you need a quarterback this week or
well, even
the next
for the rest
few
of the
weeks,
season, they still may go with Kyle Allen as a starter.
Possible. I don't think they will, but I think Josh Allen is worth about 7 or 8%.
Well, let's talk about this Cam Newton thing, because he's only 51% owned, and they have a bye. And I think, you know, last week, what were we saying about Hunter Henry, Robbie Anderson, and Jamison Crowder? We were saying, why are they owned in so few leagues? Think about how you felt about them on draft day. Hunter Henry was a sixth-round pick. Robbie Anderson a little bit after that. Crowder was a popular late-round pick. And then Crowder had a big game in week one, and then Sam Darnold got hurt, and the ownership's plummeted, right? So they all did well, Anderson and Henry in particular. They all need to be added. I understand the Jets have a tough matchup this week, but those guys need to be added for the future. You know, you could say the same thing about Cam Newton right now. You could say, well, how did you feel about him going into the drafts? He was my favorite draft day value. He hurt his foot in the preseason. It killed his season, but apparently he's going to be healthy and back after the bye. Jamie alluded to it. They have not committed to going back to Cam Newton. So I think it's a great question. You know, how do you approach Cam Newton if you see him on waivers, if you have to put a fab bid on him? You know, he's got huge upside. We know that. So what are you guys thinking right now about Cam?
I mean, the way I wrote it in the column was 5% top, you know, for two reasons. One, because you don't want to spend money on something that just because they expect him to return to practice doesn't mean that they're going to put him back in week eight as a starter, even if they feel he is their starter. You know, it could be a situation of he's not 100% healthy. There's also the further risk of injury from a Lisfranc situation. And again, I think the biggest thing, though, is the reports coming out of Carolina that they may stick with Kyle Allen until they don't want to use him anymore. So I just think it's a little risky. The other guys you mentioned, I mean, Hunter Henry was going to step back into his job. The two Jets receivers were going to get their quarterback back to help their outlooks moving forward. Cam plays a position that's deep for fantasy, so you don't want to overspend on a guy that was struggling before he got the foot injury, or we don't know exactly when he had the foot injury, but was struggling. And so I just think that if you're talking about the quarterbacks for this week, he's third at best. Like if you take a long-term approach, it's hard to argue that Cam is better than Sam Darnold right now, given the schedule that Darnold has in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is good, but I guess you could think, and you know, I just like to bring up the other side, right? You could think, come on, he's Cam Newton. There's no way they're benching him for Kyle Allen. That's bogus.
But it's been a year that Cam Newton has been Cam Newton.
We don't know what version of Cam Newton the Panthers are getting. And I think the Panthers don't know what version of Cam Newton they're getting. And I think it's smart for them to say, well, we're just not making a decision at quarterback until we absolutely have to. And since that's the case, I'm thinking that the Carolina Panthers are eventually going to turn to him, assuming that he's right. And I think Jamie's probably right on here that if you don't want to, you shouldn't overspend for Cam on his fab. But I see the matchups that he has during Deshaun Watson's bye week, Tom Brady's bye week, Russell Wilson's bye week, who's Aaron Rodgers' bye week, and I love him. And I might be willing to get him now and stash him now, just for those matchups and to see what kind of upside he has left. Because when he is good and when he is healthy, the fantasy production is going to be north of 25 per game. So I don't know how comfortable I'd be leaving that on the waiver wire for somebody else to have.
He's got to run. And that's a big question mark. Is he going to run? And that, you know, that's huge for him. And I'm hoping it happens and we'll just have to see. But yeah, I mean, if I'm struggling at quarterback, I'm going to be looking at him. Hopefully. I don't know how much demand there is for him, so I don't know that you have to spend that much fab. I guess we will find out tonight, especially going into their bye week, right? So let's kind of set everything up by looking at the big news. Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, they could all be back. Would you guys agree Barkley and Ingram more likely than Shepard?
Yes, I would agree that they're back. And we actually ranked Barkley this week.
So hey,
we're counting on him now. Now he's got to play.
He's got Arizona this week. Amari Cooper may not play this week. They have a bye next week, but they've got the Sunday night game against Philadelphia. We might not get Amari Cooper. We know the Eagles, 5 out of 6 games, they've allowed at least one wide receiver to have 100 yards. So maybe it's Michael Gallup. Maybe there's somebody to get off waivers. We'll talk about that. DeSean Jackson could play this week. He's 82% owned. I don't think we're going to talk about him, but do you think DeSean Jackson is a must-add if you saw him available?
Not a must-add. But, you know, if you have an open roster spot and there's nobody else available on waivers that you like, you know, if you're talking about DeSean Jackson, I think, as much as it is a little bit of a better week on waivers in terms of some options that you could start this week, it's still one of those situations. If you're talking about DeSean Jackson versus stashing Alexander Mattison or Tony Pollard or Gus Edwards or one of these guys that could be huge for you down the stretch, I'm not taking DeSean Jackson. I'd rather play with that roster spot with one of these running backs that if something goes down, something happens to them, and you're spending 50% of your fab budget on them when you can get them for one, I'd rather do that.
I think it's kind of incredible that he's owned in over 80% of leagues. People have stuck with him for this long.
Yeah, just me too.
More of an observation than anything else. I thought his ownership percentage would be way less, but he's not a guarantee at wide receiver. So I can understand people letting go of him even now if they wanted to go and pick up one of those handcuff running backs that Jamie was talking about.
And he's at Dallas this week and then at Buffalo, at home against Chicago and a bye, and then New England. He also has to deal with that crappy
tough schedule.
Cam Newton expected to return for practice. Marcus Mariota, do we know about him and whether or not he'll be starting?
I'd be shocked if he started.
Okay.
See, I don't know. I think the one thing that you're probably right. It'd be a surprise if he starts, but the fact that they haven't made the decision yet probably speaks to that they're going to go with Daniel. Otherwise, it would just come out and said we're sticking with Marcus Mariota.
They have the Chargers this week. Josh Rosen probably starting this week at Buffalo. I'll put over under over under halftime before he's out of that game. I guess I'll take the over.
No. He's going to play the whole game. The Dolphins nearly screwed up their plan. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick almost won the game.
I know.
Kenyon Drake for MVP.
Will Disley is likely out for the season. They have Luke Wilson. They have Jacob Hollister and Ed Dixon eligible to return in week 9. Nothing very exciting there at tight end for Seattle. Looks like Emmanuel Sanders and Sammy Watkins both have a good chance to play this week. They have a Thursday game against each other. That's Kansas City at Denver. The Jets activated Chris Herndon. Do you think he plays this week? He is getting the Patriots.
It's a good sign that they activated him, because otherwise, why would they, want to burn the roster spot? So, we'll see. He burned us last week with, hey, go get him as a streamer. Nope.
No.
Are you willing? I would be willing to get him with the idea of having him for the second half of the season or week 8 and beyond, when that schedule gets really good for the Jets. His timing to return could be great. So if you're kind of stuck at tight end, but you have an answer for this week, you could stash Chris Herndon.
Marquise Brown will play if he can practice this week. They're at Seattle. Then they have a bye. Chris Thompson has a foot injury. Do we have anything on Chris Thompson right now?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Other than you probably don't want to start him.
I would say, San Francisco at Minnesota, at Buffalo. Yeah, I'd say no. And is it time, do you think, to pick up Kareem Hunt? He's 66% owned.
No, unless you just, again, want to see what happens. But it's not like he's stepping into anything guaranteed. So he's in that same, I guess, category as the handcuff running backs, because if something does happen to Nick Chubb. But on their bye week, I don't know if this is the week to do it.
There's no urgency to do it.
Do you expect the following players? Todd Gurley at Atlanta.
Not as of now.
Devin Singletary against Miami.
Hopeful, but not as of now.
Philip Dorsett and Josh Gordon at the Jets.
Dorsett, probably. Gordon, hopefully, but again, not as of now.
Yeah, I mean, Dorsett could be another good one on waivers. So, speaking of which, it's game time, it's Tully time, and it's time for your top additions presented by Telemordu, players you should pick up off the waiver wire to help make your game time better. So we'll go through the list a little bit deeper later in the show, but let's go through the top 3 or 4 or so at each position. And Jamie, who are your top quarterbacks this week to pick up off waivers?
The first two that are relatively available, I kind of cheated a little bit because I went over the 65% threshold just barely, but Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, both great matchups. Hopefully Allen gets his guys back, at least Evan Ingram, because if he has two of Golden Tate and one of the other guys, most likely it's going to be Ingram, and Barkley back would certainly help, but the Cardinals stink. So, those two for this week would be my favorite options, Allen and Daniel Jones.
Okay, give me one more name.
I mean, I'll take a long-term approach with Darnold. Not going to play him this week, but the schedule, as we talked about, gets really, really nice for him, and he looked great against the Cowboys. So hopefully, the guy that I thought was looking really good in the preseason before the bout with mono showed up in week 6 and can show up for the rest of the way.
All right, so it's Josh Allen facing the team that gives up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, Daniel Jones. Now, let me ask you this about Daniel Jones. Got Arizona. Arizona actually allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks last year, and of course they are getting Patrick Peterson back this week. So I think the reason they gave up the fourth fewest fantasy points last year was because their run defense was so bad. But does the Patrick Peterson return, Dave, you know, dampen your hopes for Daniel Jones?
It's not just Patrick Peterson's return. It's also, is Evan Engram going to play? Is Sterling Shepard going to play? I think those two guys are huge factors.
Let's assume yes on Engram and no on Shepard. That seems the most likely scenario.
Then I think it helps Daniel Jones, and you could consider him a streaming option for the week. I'd rather have Allen. Would I rather just get Darnold now? Probably not. I'd rather start Daniel Jones and take my lumps, or hope to get Sam Darnold next week off the waiver wire or somebody else. I could be tempted to take Kirk Cousins ahead of Daniel Jones too. I think that there's a chance that he could end up getting some decent numbers against the Lions. Really comes down to who's available and who's healthy for Daniel Jones to throw to.
Okay, Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, some other guys you might look at this week, and more on them later. Moving over to running backs. Dave, I'll give you the first word on running backs. Is it Jamal Williams? Is he number one?
Yeah, it's Jamal Williams. He really stepped up in a great opportunity on Monday against the Lions. Thought he played great and didn't drop any touchdown passes, didn't fumble the ball away. I thought that Aaron Jones took like a really tough hit in the first quarter, and I wonder if that affected him a little bit, but pretty clear that he had the hot hand on Monday night. Packers can now go back to using, mixing and matching these guys and using whoever has the hotter hand, and Jamal Williams is available in 2/3 of leagues. Makes perfect sense to go and get him.
And, you know, he played two games, I think weeks 15 and 16 last year after Aaron Jones got hurt. And he had two really big games. And then in week 17, he struggled, but Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And it's like Jamal Williams, so much of his time as the lead running back has been spent without Aaron Rodgers. When we've seen him with Aaron Rodgers, he's been pretty good, except the first two games of last year when he faced Chicago and Minnesota and basically lost his job to Aaron Jones. So we've mentioned Williams. Who else? And I forgot to mention this, but I do want to say that, you know, 65% ownership in CBS leagues is basically our threshold for the waiver wire. It makes things a little bit difficult this week because there are a lot of players probably at each position that are owned in more than that. You know, like Royce Freeman against the Chiefs and Frank Gore, he's 75% owned against the Dolphins. They've given up 12 or more fantasy points in non-PPR in every game to a running back. Malcolm Brown, 79% owned. So, you know, the rankings get a little tricky, but I guess we'll keep using that threshold of 65% or less. So is there anyone else other than Jamal Williams that feels like a must add right now?
I think Latavius Murray could very well be, just with the situation that's going on with Alvin Kamara, that, you know, he's got this ankle problem that caused him to miss practice last week. Sean Payton said he came out of the game a little banged up again. He hasn't looked right. And you wonder if they're going to maybe sit him down just to make sure he's 100%, because the Saints have really stolen games here, you know, without Drew Brees and the fact that they're still in first place. And, you know, now Brees pushing for an early return. So you just wonder if they want to make sure Kamara's right for the stretch run when they get their quarterback back after their bye week. If you don't make Latavius Murray some level of a priority for you, certainly as the Kamara owner, but just as a potential lottery ticket that could cash very soon, I think you're making a mistake.
He had a long catch and run touchdown called back against Jacksonville too. He looked great in the game, and he pretty much has fresh legs because they've barely used him through the first 5 weeks of the season. So maybe there's an opportunity here for Latavius Murray against Chicago. When the Saints are on the road, they tend to use their running backs a little bit more. Maybe they give him some run here against the Bears. We don't know if Akeem Hicks is going to play. That Bears defense was vulnerable against Oakland. Maybe there's a chance here that Latavius Murray could fill in for you as a bye week running back.
And it's not just that, though, if for the Kamara situation. It's also really haven't seen what Murray can do with Breeze over the course of several games. You know, I mean, just using him as a pass catcher, using him as a different option in the backfield. You know, the thing we've seen with the Saints is, and understandably so, they've gotten very conservative. Sean Payton scaled back the playbook. They're relying on their defense, which is playing absolutely fantastic. And so I think with Breeze back, the offense opens up a little bit, and maybe Murray does a few more things. Not that he's going to be better than, dramatically better than what he's been, but there's still that chance. And so I think if you can pick him up, if you miss on Williams, you're probably not going to start him this week unless Kamara's out. But just take a long-term approach with some of these players, And again, this is a lottery ticket that could be significant if, in fact, Kamara's ankle becomes a significant problem.
All right, but let's say you see Frank Gore available, and he's got the Dolphins, as I mentioned, and Jamal Williams and Latavius Murray are there. Who are you prioritizing?
It comes down to what you need. If you need a guy for this week, then Frank Gore for sure. You know, because if Singletary remains out and Gore against the Dolphins, revenge game, all those things, you know, playing his former team. I actually just saw Frank Gore on Saturday. He was at the Florida Atlantic game. I believe his son plays for the Owls, so he was on the sidelines. And as I was walking my kids and the group of kids we were with, they got to go on the field at halftime to high-five the players as they ran through the tunnel. So as we're walking to get on the field, he's walking out with T.O., who I think also has a son that plays for FAU. It was pretty funny. My brother-in-law, who had a couple beers at the time, Frank Gore walks past. T.O. walks past me. He goes, T.O. He screams. He shakes his hand. And then Frank Gore's right behind him. He goes, Alfred Morris.
No way.
And then I actually spoke to Al for a little bit after he was actually honored at halftime. He went to FAU, but it was funny. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, that was Frank Gore, right? That wasn't Alfred Morris. He goes, oh, man.
Wait, I want to look. I'm Google imaging Alfred Morris. He looks a little bit like Frank Gore.
I think he just had in his, he wouldn't know what Frank Gore or Alfred Morris looks like. He just had in his head that, you know, they were at the game, you know, so he saw T.O. and another football player walking with him. So he just thought it was, you know, they're all together.
All right, I think
Ray Lewis is at the game too.
Oh, wow. Damn. Jeez. So I'm going to ask our video department if we can to get a side-by-side of Alfred Morris and Frank Gore, because I think there are some similarities there, but, you know, I'm never right about anything. So we'll see if we have time for that.
No, there's no similarities. Frank Gore would be better for this week, but if you don't need Frank Gore, Frank Gore is not going to win your league. If Alvin Kamara goes down or Aaron Jones goes down, those replacement options in Jamal Williams and Latavius Murray could be league winners for you. Probably more so Murray than Williams, but I still think there's an opportunity there to take the bigger approach. You know, it just depends. You know, if you're stuck and you need a starter, go get Frank Gore.
All right, we got to talk about wide receivers. I got to tell you, though, about Lightstream. Are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Are your interest rates in the double digits? I know people who have dealt with credit card debt, and it can be crippling. It can be really, really tough. So you need to check out Lightstream, lightstream.com/FFT, LIGHTSTREAM.com/FFT. Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. You can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, so you can save thousands in interest and get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees, and you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. If you had never heard of Lightstream, I mean, you listen to this show, so I'm sure you've heard of it, but they are a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions. You can have complete peace of mind with Lightstream, and it's just a great way to save money if you need a credit card consolidation loan. So if you want to save even more money, our listeners can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get it is at lightstream.com/FFT. Again, LIGHTSTREAM.com/FFT. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/FFT for more information. Fellas, Dave, I'll start with you. Who are the wide receivers that we need to target here, the top priorities?
Let's start with the Jets guys, Jameson Crowder and Robbie Anderson. And I think in PPR, that would be the order I would go with. I would go with Crowder. I'm buying into the targets from Sam Darnold. And Robbie just seems to be what he's almost always been, which is big play type of receiver. We saw the 92-yard touchdown. That was awesome. He could be a good number three receiver in all formats, non-PPR and PPR. But I think Crowder just has a little bit better of an outlook in PPR. And I think you can use Crowder in week 7. I don't think you can use Robbie with any kind of confidence in week 7. Auden Tate would be next for me. He's got the Jaguars and then the Rams. Philip Dorsett would be next for me after that. And then Alan Lazard would make my list. Hey. I like that Aaron Rodgers was campaigning for mm-hmm. Alan Lazard to get on the field. They needed him badly. If Geronimo Allison misses week 7, if Davante Adams' toe doesn't heal up, I think Lazard could get some decent playing time, and I think he could help you get to maybe 10 PPR points if you're that desperate at wide receiver.
All right. So that's, and Jamie has a very similar priority list. Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, Auden Tate, Philip Dorsett, and then Dave has Alan Lazard of the Packers who had that big game last night. Do you guys think Auden Tate will have a good game this week against Jacksonville? They have not been great against wide receivers, but they haven't been terrible, for, I guess, for the most part. So do you think Tate's a start this week?
I mean, it comes.
He's a number three receiver. I mean, I don't think he's a start, but you know, look, the targets were up last week. The production was there. He's been playing more. The production's been there for him for the last really four games. So, you know, Dalton's played better at home than he has on the road. He's only played two home games so far. So, if there's no Jalen Ramsey, then I think Tate's in that number three
conversation. And that's the first question: yeah. Is Jalen Ramsey going to play? Because if Jalen Ramsey plays, that obviously would probably mean some tough times ahead for Auden Tate. But he's just he's like their tight end. He's a big dude, great catch radius, not necessarily an explosive speedster down the field. But if he's going to keep getting targets and he's going to be a focal point near the goal line, that's a guy you'd want to have in your flex.
So I'm going to give you some names of wide receivers who are owned in about 70% of leagues or more, about 70 to 80%. Maybe some are available in your leagues. And I want you to tell me, like, how it's just like real quick, like how excited you'd be to pick them up if you saw them on waivers. Mike Williams, 80% owned.
If you need someone for this week, yes, I'd say he's worth picking up, not ahead of the Jets guy. Well, it depends. You know, the Jets guys is more of a long-term approach. Mike Williams for this week is in a much better spot. And the nice thing about it is 25 targets the last three games. I mean, they're leaning on him very much.
Can he score?
That's all he did.
It's all he did last year.
I know, that's the thing. Like last year, he was getting a ton of touchdowns, not a lot of targets, and now he's getting a lot of targets and not many touchdowns. I think I'd rather have the Jets guys.
Christian Kirk at the Giants.
He'd be my number one receiver, and it's not close.
Yeah.
Golden Tate against Arizona. Maybe he'd be number one, no?
If you're talking for this week, he would be number two. If you're talking long-term, he'd be behind the Jets guy. Because at some point, Shepard comes back, and then it becomes messy.
Right. He's great for this week.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling against Oakland.
The only reason to pick him up is if both Allison and Adams are out. That's the only, because at this point he's closer to a drop than he is an ad.
Mohamed Sanu against the Rams. Mohamed Sanu.
Great ad.
PPR only. Very good ad for week seven. Good bench receiver as well. He would contend. I think I'd put him behind Jamison Crowder, actually. I think he'd be behind him. He'd be behind Robbie Anderson. Maybe ahead of Auden Tate, though. So top five receiver to add this week.
Yep. All right. That's Sanu. DK Metcalf.
I like him this week.
I like him moving forward, too. I just hope, you know, the thing that's going to be tough with the Seahawks guys is even with Disley out, I don't think we're going to see a spike in targets really for anybody. You know, it's just that's the offense that they run. And I think you'll see Jerron Brown and David Moore. I keep confusing them because they are basically the same guy.
Yeah.
Jerron Brown and David Moore will see a little bit more production, you know, so they go from two targets to four targets, and Tyler Lockett goes from six targets to eight targets, and DK Metcalf goes from six targets to eight targets too. You know, it's just not an offense that's going to all of a sudden blow up to one guy, but Metcalf gets those few bumps and targets, and that helps him.
Last one, D.D. Westbrook, 71% owned, did have eight targets last week, and at Cincinnati this week.
Without, you kind of know what he is this one.
Right. He's like 10 PPR points.
By the way, did we even say Gardner Minshew with the quarterbacks?
No, he's absolutely on the table. You know, I think it comes down to, again, what you need versus, you know, long-term. So for this week, he's certainly in the conversation. I like Allen better. And if Daniel Jones gets his guys this week, I like him better. But, you know, if Daniel Jones doesn't get his guys, then Minshew would be right there with him. You know, like you said, the matchup is good. I just wonder that they run all over the Bengals.
All right, guys, at tight end, anyone other than Hunter Henry that you're excited to pick up?
Excited? Probably not. You know, if Herndon does play, then, you know, I think that's something you look at again from a long-term scenario of this is the hopefully start of something. I like Dawson Knox as a sleeper this week. I think there's a good opportunity for him against Miami because the targets started to creep up for him and the Dolphins stink. And so then it just becomes, I think, you know, sort of, and Knox is obviously in that conversation too, but more of a desperation, you know, scenario. We spoke to Evan Washburn, our CBS Sports NFL sideline reporter yesterday, and he said Bill O'Brien told him, he was at the Texans Chiefs game. He said that they really want to start to use their tight ends more. And he said he specifically talked up Darren Fells. And you've seen the last 2 weeks. He scored 2 weeks ago. Targets were up. He was actually the leading receiver in this past game. And so, you know, if he's going to continue to be involved, it's worth a look.
He's had at least 12 PPR points in 3 of his last 4 games. So he would be my number one priority after Hunter Henry if I needed a tight end for week 7. Because I think
Fells,
he can continue to get some. Yeah. Fells. Because I think he can get some pretty easy targets. And these tight ends, both of them for Houston, are going to start to play more because that offensive line took a hit, losing Titus Howard for the next several weeks. So they're going to be on the field significantly. And I think the targets could open up from as much as they have been.
Darren Fells has the Colts this week. A huge game, by the way. Very excited for this game. And they actually allow the 3rd most fantasy points to tight ends. Now, they have faced Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, Travis Kelce, and Darren Waller, and Delanie Walker. So they haven't had one bad tight end. But they do give up fantasy points to tight ends so far. DSTs, I don't know, Jamie. Not that it's your fault.
This is the ugliest one.
But
this is
the ugliest group. Okay, I was going to say, like, the list.
I'm glad you feel that
bad.
Way. I had such a hard time with this list.
However, I would say this. There are, like, 4 or 5 DSTs that are owned in 70 to 80% of leagues. I feel like one of them is guaranteed to be available in your leagues, and they are good, okay? San Francisco gets Washington. Buffalo is only 78% owned. The Bills were dropped during the bye. They get Miami. Green Bay against Oakland. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. Jacksonville, 70% owned. So those are the 4 I found. San Fran, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Jacksonville. To me, Green Bay is last on that list. But they're better than... Yeah, you got the Broncos, the Colts, and the Cardinals. Okay, it's ugly. It's ugly. So hopefully those other teams are available. Niners at Washington. Holy cow. Bills against Miami. Are the Bills your number one DST this? Oh, probably the Patriots, right?
No. The Bills.
Oh, yeah, the Bills.
Yes.
Yeah, the Bills.
The Bills and the 49ers are ahead of the Patriots for me.
Okay.
Same.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, they're going to be...
And all 3 of those are ahead of the Bears, too.
Yeah, I put the Jags ahead of the Bears, too.
Yeah, all right. You got some waiver wire possibilities. Hopefully, keep your fingers crossed that the Niners, Bills, and Jags are there. Do you like the Packers this week against Oakland?
They're not bad. You know, I think the one thing about it is they're at home, you know, and so in their building, if they don't have Tyrell Williams, it could be tough for the Raiders passing game to, you know, keep up if they're chasing points.
What are you talking about? They got Zay Jones.
Could be a good waiver wire ad.
He could. All right. Green Bay 23.
He's on the list.
And Detroit 22. Geronimo Allison evaluated for a concussion. He also has a chest injury. And TJ Hockenson had 2 almost touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers played so well. How bad were his pass catchers, receivers, tight ends, running backs, dropping passes, dropping touchdowns? Jimmy Graham and Aaron Jones dropped a touchdown. That Shepherd fella dropped the ball at the 1 yard line that was picked off. Aaron Rodgers could have had a huge
game. He had a rough night.
Game. Yes, he did. As JB mentioned, he had a rough night when the ball hit him in the hands. Punt returner.
Twice.
Yeah.
I was amused by, like, the ESPN would show Aaron Rodgers after a play would go bad, and he just had this look on his face like, you know, you can't blame me for this. Not my fault, you know?
Yeah, no, he looked really frustrated.
I was amused by Aaron Rodgers' facial expressions during the game, but he ended up coming through just fine. He does what Aaron Rodgers does, and he wins the game in the end and found something in Alan Lazard to save the day for Green Bay.
So... it was a great game. I feel bad for the Lions. I do. And I feel kind of bad for Mason Crosby because his Lambeau leap was so weak. But what are the fantasy takeaways in this game, Jamie? You look at Packers-Lions, and what comes to mind?
I mean, obviously, it's the running backs for Green Bay. You know, that's the biggest takeaway is what's going to be the case moving forward with Jones and Williams, and will it be what we saw last night, which is, I think, what it was trending toward before the concussion for Williams? Or will it be, okay, Aaron Jones, you had a bad game, but you're still our guy. We'll go back to you. I mean, it's hard to say that's going to be the case. So at this point, I still would prefer Jones over Williams. I think he's still a number 2 running back this week against Oakland. But now Williams is in the conversation as a flex. And, you know, as we've been talking about, he's a priority to add off waivers.
Okay. And then, what did you think about Kerryon Johnson? 13 carries, 34 yards, and a touchdown, 2 catches for 27 yards. This was after 16 or more carries in three of his first four games. Not involved in the passing game. 27 yards was nice, but only, you know, no more than two catches in any game. So, you know, look, Johnson, I guess, got the job done, but not great. What'd you think of Kerryon, Dave?
You know, at least we didn't see another running back come close to the same amount of touches for Detroit that Kerryon Johnson had. And I don't have the snap. I'm trying to look it up as I talk to you about just how many snaps he played to see if that changed during the bye. But my guess is that the Lions went into this game thinking that they can win on the arm of Matthew Stafford. And they, the first quarter, Stafford owned him. And Kerryon Johnson was kind of more of a complimentary part of the offense, believe it or not. And it's a little frustrating to see. And he still played over 70% of the snaps. Third straight game. I'm not too worried about it.
Let's get the drop.
Kerryon, he'll be okay.
Let's get the drop-o-meter out for a lot of guys in this game. Matthew Stafford, 0 to 10.
0.
4.
All right. You know, I mean, not going to start him against Minnesota, but then he's got the Giants and the Raiders the next 2 weeks.
But if you need someone for this week and you're looking at Josh Allen versus Matthew Stafford, you have to win, you're dropping Stafford to pick a balance.
Sure.
How about Marvin Jones?
Same 4.
I'd go a little higher. 5, 5.5.
TJ Hockenson dropped 2 touchdowns. Well, dropped 1 touchdown and got tackled at the 1 yard line.
I don't think I'm dropping Hockenson to pick up somebody like Dawson Knox or Darren Fells, but if Hunter Henry's available, then it's a 10.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. How about Jimmy Graham?
Oh, same. He stinks.
Same thing about Hockenson.
But he dropped a touchdown.
He stinks. He's going to be good for like 4 or 5 points a week.
But I know I know that Jimmy Graham's not great, but if Davante Adams is still out, you know, it's like...
I think Aaron Rodgers is learning just how bad Jimmy Graham is.
He threw it. Yeah. If he had caught that ball
in
the end zone
target.
What
yeah,
an
right.
awesome throw that was.
He catches that, it's different. But.
Yeah, but the same thing. He's not dramatically better than Knox or Fells or any of those other guys. So, if it doesn't make sense to, you know, make the move unless it's just an open waiver spot.
I'm getting away from him. I'll make the move. Give me Fells. Give me Knox. Give me Jack Doyle. Give me anybody.
You could host Family Feud. Give me Fells. Give me Knox. All right.
Show me a crappy old tight end.
Pittsburgh 24, Los Angeles 17. Woo. What a game. Let's see. James Conner, a little banged up. Should be fine going after the bye. Dr. David Chow doesn't think it's anything too serious. Oh, Juju Smith-Schuster. 1 catch for 7 boy. Yards. This was not a pretty offense. I think Joe Polito works for us. He's a social media guy. He is so funny on Twitter. And he wrote, like, Pittsburgh's offense, first down, dink. Second down, dunk. Third down, dunk. So anyway, what are your fantasy takeaways from this game, Dave? Pittsburgh over the Chargers.
You know, I was thrilled to see James Conner have the game that he had. I'm still waiting for him to have several games in a row with like a good rushing average. But maybe I'm just nitpicking him here because he's getting it done in the passing game as well. And the Steelers are finding ways to keep in games without having a good quarterback. And it's obviously hurting their receivers. I mean, Deontay Johnson led their receivers in yards with 14. That's not very good.
But Mason Rudolph, you think is back after the bye, right?
Yeah, I think Mason Rudolph will be back. I think he'll be a step better than Devlin Hodges, of course. But I don't know if this means that Juju's going to... I don't know if he's rebounding to the point where he's getting 10 targets a game, catching 8 of them, getting 90 to 110 yards and having a chance to find the end zone. I think this could end up being just a lost year for Juju.
So, Jamie, let's focus on the Chargers now. Really, like, storylines aplenty with the Chargers. The running backs were terrible. Keenan Allen has had 3 awful games in a row, a combined 11 catches for 99 yards on 17 targets. I feel like this is, I'm just waiting for the "we need to get Keenan Allen more involved" quotes. Hunter Henry with a huge game.
Oh yeah, buy low.
And then Mike Williams, you know, 80%. But I guess just your overall thoughts on who you like on the Chargers offense going forward, how much you trust them. There are a lot of really fantasy relevant, difficult decisions on this team.
It's a big week because the Titans defense is, you know, proving to be a little bit vulnerable. And I think, or at least based on what the expectation were for them. You have to sort of look at your backfield on your fantasy team and say, is Melvin Gordon worth it? is Austin Ekeler worth it in terms of starting them? Because Gordon has obviously struggled in the two games that he's played, and Eckler's, you know, goes from 15 catches 1 week to three the next. So I still think he's worth starting in PPR. I would probably put Gordon in the flex range right now. You know, so like a little bit unfathomable to think that you'd probably starting Frank Gore and Royce Freeman over Melvin Gordon this week, just with their respective matchups or situations. But that's the case. And then in terms of Allen, I like I said, I think he's a buy low candidate. You know, you go three straight games where their offense looks good and he's averaging 10 plus targets a game. And then you go the last three where he's under 10 targets. And, you know, the Miami game, okay, they kind of just went through the motions when they came. The Broncos game, he gets Chris Harris and bracket coverage, and, you know, Phillip Rivers sort of does some atypical things and not necessarily challenging some tough spots. And then against the Steelers, you know, it just goes completely away from him. So you're right, Adam. There'll be a squeaky wheel performance probably coming sooner rather than later, or conversation sooner rather than later. But now you have Hunter Henry in the mix, and so we see how that's going to operate, because there's a lot to like about him, you know, at a thin position. I still think Mike Williams is in that number three receiver conversation too.
So I think when you look at the Chargers, and I wonder if we look at the Chargers and say the Rams, the offensive lines are big issues here. And when you look at matchups for the passing game for Phillip Rivers in particular, do you want to start looking at how the pass rushes are? Because the next three opponents they face, the Titans, the Bears, and the Packers, are all in the top nine in sacks, and the Bears would be much higher than that if they didn't have a bye. You know, the Packers and the Titans are both sixth with 18 sacks this year, and the Bears have 17. So considering how much the Steelers got after them, is that something to consider? That's their next three matchups: at Tennessee, at Chicago, and home against Green Bay. And I know the Bears and the Packers have good pass rushes. I don't really know about the Titans.
The Titans are a little bit inflated because of some of the games that they played. So they beat up Cleveland in week one, and that offensive line's proven to be bad.
And the Falcons.
They got three sacks on the Colts. That was a little surprising. But then five against the Falcons and four against the Bills.
They beat up on bad offensive lines.
Yeah.
And here come the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
But the Broncos have a bad offensive line, too, and they only got the Flacco once. Cam Wake didn't play in that game, too.
How often did they throw in that game? Like, I think Flacco had a low pass attempt number. So I don't know how many opportunities they really had. Flacco, we had 28 pass attempts. So not terribly.
Yeah, I don't think you could trust Rivers. He came out of the game against Pittsburgh with a decent fantasy performance, but, you know, a lot of that was garbage time. It's in Tennessee. So I think it's one of those situations where you still trust Keenan Allen. You obviously trust Hunter Henry. Mike Williams, number three receiver, and the running backs get downgraded. So they're just not playing very well, and the offensive line is a huge part of it. I also think it's kind of the way they're operating. When they didn't have Melvin Gordon, they were playing a little bit more up-tempo and throwing the ball a little bit more because they didn't have their bell cow. And so now it's all of them's like they have been forcing the ball to Melvin Gordon, which has been a little frustrating to watch.
I mean, I guess, but he only had eight carries. You know, the game obviously got away.
But in the beginning of the game, it's like they're just, you know,
I don't blame them. I'm trying to get there.
I just think that O-line is
rough. It's a problem.
It's causing a lot of problems. Yeah.
Melvin Gordon or Kerryon Johnson rest of season?
Kerryon.
Okay, Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley? Injured Todd Gurley.
Gurley.
Not knowing how long Gurley will be out, I'll take Gordon, but that's ugly.
LeSean McCoy or Melvin Gordon?
Gordon.
Melvin.
All right. So we got to talk about who to drop. But first, I hope you're watching. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Let's see how similar Frank Gore and Alfred Morris, they don't look at all like nothing. What was I thinking? They don't look anything alike. That's terrible.
No, and you're sober.
I am sober. Wow. No, nothing. Gosh, why? Well,
in the picture they're showing, they are both wearing shoulder pads. Maybe that's what.
At one point,
you're short.
At one point, they
big.
both played for the 49ers, not at the same time.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you to our video crew for making me look
just
bad.
Just a note on Alfred Morris for those of you looking in deeper leagues. I asked him if he's still making the rounds to try out for teams, and he said the Giants wanted him to come in over the weekend, and he said he asked if they could wait until Monday because he wanted to go through the celebration at FAU for himself where they were honoring him for his time there, and they obviously said no. Because they signed Buck Allen. So he said he's still waiting for the right opportunity.
All right. Well, speaking of Buck Allen, we'll say his name out loud when we talk about the waivers, but we won't really tell you to pick him up or anything like that. We're going to take a break on fantasy football today and get into who to drop and the rest of the players that you need to add for fantasy week 7 and going on.
What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Fellas, I'm going to give you some players on the drop-o-meter, I guess. Well, you just tell me, drop or keep.
The dropometer, you mean?
I don't think we have to do a 0 to 10 or anything. Just tell me, like, zero. You know what? Fine. Drop-o-meter. Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson.
10.
I don't know if they're straight up 10, but they're pretty close to 10. I'd say 8.
Curtis Samuel.
6.
4.
Ronald,
I probably would prefer to hang on to Curtis Samuel through the bye, but if he's, you know, the worst guy on the bench, mm-hmm. he goes.
Ronald Jones, bye week.
2.
4. Jared, drop him if you need a rush.
Jared Goff at Atlanta.
0.
Yeah, 0.
Malcolm Brown at Atlanta.
0.
0.
Well, I guess 2. If we find out Gurley's back.
Gerald Everett at Atlanta.
7. And it's not like his playing time really changed dramatically last week. It's just targets weren't there.
No, then that's the thing.
Not
like,
nearly as many routes.
I'm not getting away from Gerald Everett after a game where Jared Goff threw for 75 yards or whatever it was. I'm not getting away for Gerald Everett for Dawson Knox, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
I would say
I'll take Fells ahead of him.
2. I win.
Okay. Delanie Walker.
10.
3, wow. 10. Okay. Very different there. Phillip Rivers.
10.
10.
I think we're getting close to that point for him. He was great to start the year, his line's falling apart. I would say a 7. I think you got to go Josh Allen ahead of Phillip Rivers this week.
I go Allen over him. I go Daniel Jones over him. I would go with Minshew over him.
He's a sit, but is he a drop?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to carry him as a second quarterback.
Okay. All right. Onto the waiver wires. Here are those quarterbacks. So let's look at the check to see if they're available category. They're owned in more than 70% of leagues, these guys. Jimmy Garoppolo at Washington. They allow the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett against Houston. They've allowed 3 touchdown passes in 2 straight games, but only 1 big game this year, and that was Matt Ryan against Houston. And Gardner Minshew at Cincinnati. They allow the 5th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, and they just lost cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick for a month. So we're looking at Garoppolo, Brissett, and Gardner Minshew. Are they better than Josh Allen this week?
I think Brissett has the chance to be.
No, Allen's better than all those guys. You know what he did against Miami last year?
He was amazing against Miami last year.
He had 77 fantasy points in 2 games.
He's had 1 game this year with over 20 fantasy points. They're going to be able to run on Miami. Yeah. They weren't able to quite do that against Miami with the same type of success. I think Josh Allen is a top 12 quarterback this week. I think Jacoby Brissett is too. I think Brissett can be a little bit better.
You look at Josh Allen's rushing yards, he's got 3 rushing touchdowns, but it's just completely different than last year. He's running, 30 yards a game, something like that. What else at quarterback? Okay, so we got Garoppolo, Brissett, Minshew, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, we already talked about, Cam Newton and Sam Darnold, the more long-term looks. And then Kirk Cousins at Detroit, Joe Flacco against Kansas City, Andy Dalton against Jacksonville. Ryan Tannehill, he's different. Like, that's desperation, I guess, against the Chargers.
They're all desperation.
Are they?
Cousins is the best of that group.
All right, then we'll move on. Let's look at running backs. Malcolm Brown, Frank Gore, Royce Freeman. These are 75 and up, 75 to 79%. How would you rank them if you saw them on your waiver wire? Malcolm Brown, Frank Gore, Royce Freeman.
I have Freeman a spot ahead of Gore. I don't know if I'm going to stick with that. They're literally back-to-back at the end of the RB2 range for me, and then Malcolm Brown would be third.
Gore for this week, and it's not close. Followed by Freeman, followed by Brown.
Freeman's been getting a lot of catches. They're going to have to throw a little bit against Kansas City on the short week. They might also run on Kansas City in the short week.
They will run on Kansas City. Everybody runs on Kansas City.
Right.
How about these guys if you saw them? Adrian Peterson. San Francisco this week. Duke.
No,
Johnson,
thank you.
Duke Johnson and Rashad Penny.
No. I prefer just about everybody else we've talked
Penny's
about.
Closer to a drop than he is to an end.
And then you've got, well, he is, but he's in the same. I mean, he's just like Madison. Well, he's not like Madison.
That's why I wouldn't drop him. But he's, right. You know, if you're just talking about standalone value, he's closer to a drop.
This is the perfect time to trade the absolute worst player on your bench for Rashad Penny if you have Chris Carson.
You know, there are a lot of handcuffs out there that could be great, like Rashad Penny. But a lot of them get no value when the starter's healthy. Whereas Madison, you might get an 8-carry game or something like that. All right, so the priorities at running back are Jamal Williams, Latavius Murray, and then how about these guys, Benny Snell and Chase Edmonds. So Snell had 17 carries. Now James Conner got hurt. And Chase Edmonds had 67 yards and a touchdown a week after having 86 yards and a touchdown. So do you think Snell and Edmonds, and of course Snell's on a bye, Edmonds is at the Giants, who have allowed 40 or more receiving yards to a running back in four straight games. Do you think Snell and Edmonds have carved out roles? Do you think Latavius Murray, Snell, and Edmonds have carved out roles?
If you don't need anybody for this week, and you can get Benny Snell for nothing, you should 1,000% do so for two reasons. One, you just said he had 17 carries. Two, James Conner did not finish the game against the Chargers, and Jalen Samuels is out with a knee injury. If you can find Benny Snell and you do not pick him up, you're making a mistake.
Jeez, you're very harsh.
Sure. He's worth the speculation for sure. I also think that Chase Edmonds has carved out that role that you're talking about.
The only thing that concerns me about Chase Edmonds and the role that he has is what happens when Christian Kirk comes back, because they were using both running backs on the field at the same time, and they had Edmonds split out several times in that game.
But I think that they've learned that they've got something with Chase Edmonds that they can roll with. This offense is a little bit different than what it was to begin the season. They're leaning on these running backs a little bit more. And I think Chase Edmonds could have an Alexander Mattison-ish type of role here, potentially the rest of the way for Arizona.
We've got Rex Burkhead, Daryl Henderson, Madison, Mark Walton, who had 11 touches for the Dolphins, Buck Allen, who signed with the Giants, just in case everybody's hurt. But I actually think Wayne Gallman is coming back this week, too.
Right. It's just a complete what if everybody's out again.
Sure. Yeah. And then you can start him ahead of Jordan Howard and lose a bet and have to shave your mustache. So anyway, I think, you know, Daryl Henderson, Madison, Walton, Allen, I don't see people rushing to get them. However, Rex Burkhead's pretty interesting because the last time he faced the Jets, he had 17 touches. He scored a touchdown. He had almost 70 total yards. I don't know if he's playing this week, but, you know, is Burkhead worth adding, or how worth adding is he?
He's absolutely worth adding. I mean, it's almost similar to Jamal Williams. Like, I think when Burkhead comes back, you're talking about a guy that's going to step into a role because the starter has been uninspiring. Now, Aaron Jones obviously wasn't uninspiring coming off the Dallas game, but we saw what was happening before Jamal Williams got hurt. We saw what was happening to Sony Michel before Rex Burkhead got hurt. So if you can pick up Rex Burkhead now, just in case, it's not a bad move to make.
I feel like there are so many other players, including at running back, that I'd rather pick up now. I don't feel like there's any urgency to pick up Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, but then he has he's healthy and he plays well, and you're saying I could have got him for 1% of my fab budget, and now I got to spend 10.
But are we a week away from that being the case, or are we 3 weeks away from
it? Could
that
be
being
this week
case?
Against the Jets. That's why you speculate.
It could
that's
be
how you win your league,
or he could be inactive again.
I think
I would go this Tuesday and Wednesday without making Rex a priority, And then if he starts to practice and by Friday it looks like he's going to play, then I think that you could double back for him and just add him then.
Yeah, I think you do the smart thing, though, and you get him while he's cheap and then not have to wait till everybody finds out.
He's going to be just as cheap on Friday.
When everybody finds out that he's active, and then he's going to be more expensive than when he could have gotten one for nothing.
Yeah.
Again, that's how you win. You speculate ahead of time.
Well, but that's how you win. But also, you could be wasting a roster. If he doesn't play, you could be wasting a roster.
Well,
spot.
I mean, you're not cutting anybody of significance. You're just, you know, if you have an open roster spot, that's
all
what
right,
you do.
All right, so hold on. You made a really good case for Benny Snell. I loved what you said about Benny
Snell.
Yeah,
you take Snell over him.
Okay. And now Latavius Murray.
Take
made
Murray
a great
over.
Case for Latavius Murray. Which one are you taking first?
I'm taking Murray over him because he's playing this week.
Right. Okay. What about Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, I'm taking all those guys over him. But it's, again, we're talking about not every player is going to be available. And if you go just straight on the list that I give or what everybody else gives, you're going to find Rex Burkhead buried behind those guys.
Exactly.
So that's why he's not a priority. But he is still somebody that if you have an open roster spot to play with, you take chances on these type of players.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I agree with everyone. And I just want to say, like, Burkhead in four games, he had 13, 7, 17, and then one touch against the Bills. But, you know, he was banged up.
It hurt that game.
Yeah, and so 13, 7, and 17 touches, played well. So, okay. That's basically it for running back. What about Brandon Bolden? What about Daryl Williams? Sorry, I wanted to throw one more name in there. Daryl Williams and Brandon Bolden.
I think they're both big-time risks to start, but we do know that Brandon Bolden has given you decent numbers each of the last 3 weeks because he's been
in the end zone,
the touchdown guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody is going to start Brandon Bolden this week unless they're absolutely desperate. And I don't know if he's even worth speculation because I don't know if anybody believes that he's going to suddenly become a guy that gets 30% of the touches in this run game.
Sure.
He's been good for the Patriots, but he's like a Church Key type player. They'll use him on special teams. They use him when the other guys in the run game can't get going. And I also think his value would be tied to Rex Burkhead.
All right, wide receivers. So I gave you all of the check to see if they're available, guys. Christian Kirk, Golden Tate would be at the top of the list. Mike Williams, Mohamed Sanu, DK Metcalf, MVS, DD Westbrook. Then the priorities that are available in a lot of leagues, Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder are less than 60% owned. You know, not a good matchup. The Patriots have allowed one passing touchdown this year. It was the Golden Tate. I think it was a 64-yard touchdown, a little fluky. Auden Tate. Then, like, is Auden Tate number one for this week of the guys who are owned in less than 65% of leagues?
To start?
Yeah.
Yes.
In non-PPR, yes. I'll take Crowder in PPR.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take Tate in both. Better matchup.
And then, like,
that's for sure.
Philip Dorsett, 48% owned. I'm just thinking about how we felt about him a few weeks ago. And
yeah, I think between him and Jacoby Myers, you should be taking a look at both Patriots guys because, first off, you know, there's an opening right now because of Dorsett's absence, so that would help Myers if Dorsett and Gordon is out. But if Gordon's out, now they're both going to play a lot more. And like you said, Adam, Dorsett, the last few weeks prior to him getting hurt, he was playing much better in the games without Antonio Brown. And they need help in their receiving core. You know, this is going to be start the clock on the trade deadline and who the Patriots are going to explore. You know, A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, the two guys that are going to be on the block, they're going to be in the market for them. And now you're hearing the potential of N'Keal Harry practicing, and that's another guy that you take a long-term look at as well, just with the chance of what he can be when he's healthy.
In deeper leagues, I think Myers is a good one to speculate on. He's looked good. He looked good in the preseason. He looked good last week. I think there's some trust developing between him and Brady. If he's out there, you could put him on your bench.
And Julian Edelman's been battling a chest injury. If he goes down for an extended period of time, then
that would be huge for Myers.
All those guys could step up and play big.
And the last time the Patriots faced the Jets, three wide receivers for the Patriots scored 8 or more non-PPR fantasy points and 14 or more PPR fantasy points. So you had three wide receivers who were basically number two at worst. I know I've been the Josh Gordon guy since he got reinstated. I've been so excited about him. Not the only Josh Gordon guy, but he's been my guy. He's killing me in fantasy this year. I guess at this point, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, I really wouldn't be surprised. If they're both healthy and playing, I wouldn't be surprised if Philip Dorsett is better than Josh Gordon. That's how I feel at this point. I think
he's more explosive.
I think you've got to get Philip Dorsett. He had 9 targets last time out. He had 7 targets the game before that. So, he'd be a pretty big priority for me.
Yeah, I don't know how excited the Patriots are about Josh Gordon because they've seen what we've seen.
Yeah, it's been bad. All right, other guys. Dante Pettis. I don't know, Jamie. Well, six targets. That's pretty good. Why Pettis over the other Niners guys?
His playing time's up. He's had the chance for two catches inside the red zone the last two games. One probably would have gone for a touchdown two games ago. Last week would have probably fallen just short of it. But now Debo Samuel's banged up with a groin injury and they're playing the Redskins. So I still think Marquise Goodwin, I'll keep saying this, I think the ceiling's higher for him most weeks just because of his big playability. But in terms of what Pettis is doing, the routes that he's running, I think he's starting to build towards something. And so I would take a speculative look at him. But also, I think if you're stuck this week, he could be a decent number four receiver.
Season high, 71% of the snaps played for Dante Pettis last week.
And facing the Redskins, they give up the seventh most points to wide receivers.
And the week before, he played 63% of the snaps, which was at that time a season high, and that was coming out of the bye. So I think Pettis is that guy for San Francisco.
All right, about time. Cole Beasley, Jerron Brown, Darius Slayton, Adam Humphries, Zay Jones, Duke Williams, Alan Lazard, Deshaun Hamilton. Anyone in that group really stand out? Let me read the names again. Cole Beasley, Jerron Brown, Darius Slayton, Adam Humphries, Zay Jones, Duke Williams, Alan Lazard, Deshaun Hamilton.
I mean, Beasley with his matchup against Miami, you know, and he's one of those guys that you know what the floor is. It's basically like 9 or 10 PPR points. So he's going to be somebody that if you're stuck deeper leagues, that he can give you a safe number and you're not going to get crushed with the boom or bust type of receivers that can, you know, go without a catch. You know, like a Darius Slayton, for example, or maybe Lazard, you know, just with the fact that maybe he's playing time's up, he doesn't necessarily do much with it. But the matchup is so good against Miami, and I think Josh Allen's going to come out and have a good game. His role is locked in. So I like Beasley's floor, you know, not a very high ceiling, but sometimes the safe play is the good play.
I think the higher ceiling is with Lazard, believe it or not.
See, I would say it's with Slayton if there's no Sterling Shepard because the matchup against the Cardinals is good. And I would guess Patrick Peterson, if he's going to move, he would move with Golden Tate, not Slayton.
It's possible. But Alan Lazard gets Oakland. And if his playing time rises after what he did in the fourth quarter and the Packers are just out of wide receivers then he's going to get a lot of playing time. And I think Lazard could be a little bit better than Cole Beasley, could get you 10, 11, 12 in PPR.
Yeah, again, I think that's a floor ceiling play. I would agree. I think his ceiling is higher, but I don't think his floor is anywhere close.
I'm a little curious. I don't know how much of a rush I'm going to be to add Zay Jones or Adam Humphries, but I'm curious to see how Zay Jones is used in Oakland, and I'm curious to see how Adam Humphries does if Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. We know that Ryan Tannehill loves to check down, leans on the slot. That's what Adam Humphries has been doing, and Humphries got some targets and catches from Tannehill in the fourth quarter on Sunday. So I think that there's a chance for Humphries to actually be a decent PPR stash in those deeper leagues.
I want to remind everybody we have our Apple Podcast mailbag tomorrow and on Saturday. So if you have a question, great way to have it answered on the show is by leaving us a review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and answer a question. And we'll go ahead and try to read that on the show. We also have a new Facebook contest this week on the Fantasy Football Today Facebook page. Who's the best draft day decision that you made this year? And I try to make these podcasts shorter. I fail every time. The reason why is because we have so many great podcasts that you should be listening to. I want you to be able to listen to multiple shows. Go to cbssports.com/podcasts or podcast. Either one will work. cbssports.com/podcasts. Get a complete list of our shows. College football, NFL, combat sports. You know, we pretty much got it all. Golf. It's great stuff. Tight ends, I guess, you know, obviously Hunter Henry is just the head of the class. Chris Herndon, Dawson Knox, Darren Fells, Dave likes a lot. What about Jack Doyle? And actually, Texans have been pretty damn good against tight ends. Jack Doyle and Vernon Davis, who also have been good against tight ends. The Niners, that is. That's Vernon Davis' matchup. Are you going to rank them in your top 15 this week, Doyle and Vernon Davis?
Doyle might make it in PPR. Two of his last three, he's given you at least 8 PPR points, which is pretty darn good for a tight end these days.
Okay. So then I guess it's really just a matter of, like, do you want Jared Cook and TJ Hockenson and Jason? We're actually kind of interested in Jason Witten if Cooper doesn't play, because he had a touchdown call back and it shouldn't have been called back, and he had 5 catches for 57 yards. You know, those guys who might be available might even get dropped. How do you feel about that?
I mean, Witten clearly benefits if there's no Mark Cooper.
Right. Yeah, he's got the Eagles.
Or if there's no Randall Cobb, I think that might matter even more.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad option. And then Jared Cook at the Bears. Yes or no?
Look, it's hard to argue with the production the last 2 weeks. He's found the end zone twice. And so, you know, this is more of a not necessarily to use him for now, but if Breeze comes back sooner than the initial timeline, you know, hopefully that's when we start to see the best of what Jared Cook can offer.
Hey, wait a minute. Did we talk about Red Ellison?
No.
As a 1 week tight end special?
Yeah, I didn't put him because at this point I'm expecting Evan Engram to
play. Yeah, if Engram plays, obviously. But if Engram doesn't play, it's Arizona. And he had 7 targets last week.
Yeah, that's a great call. And Tyler Higbee led the Rams in receiving. So I want to throw that out there. He's at Atlanta. So, I mean, it's desperation, but maybe there's something there. DSTs we already talked about. I hope you can get the Jaguars, the 49ers, the Bills, not in that order. The Bills, the Niners, and then the Jaguars, I think. Yeah.
I kind of like the Eagles. They're 52% owned. If there's no Amari Cooper, then their biggest liability can't be taken advantage of quite as easily.
I guess so. You're right. Their pass defense is so bad. That's it for the show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wait.
Oh, there goes that. Dave, I think we need to figure out a new outro.
Yeah? What kind of outro?
I don't know. Well, let's think about it tomorrow. Let's make this our last song. No, I don't even want to do it. Like, I'm not feeling it anymore.
Okay.
It's old news. We're a new outro to debut on Thursday, the next time Dave is on the show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Bye.
What did I just say?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.